Welcome to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast. This week's episode features our special Celebration Sunday service, a time to look back with gratitude and recognize all that God has done in and through our church over the past year. And now, here's today's message.
Thank you. You may be seated. Once again, good morning. My name is Scott Curry. I'm a pastor on staff here at Central, and it's my privilege to lead us through this service this morning. It happens every time we experience something we enjoy. Could be a new kind of food, it could be a new book, could be a new person we meet or a recent visit from a family member, could be a new group, music group or movie, could even be a visit to a new country. When we experience something new that enriches our lives, we can't wait to tell somebody. It doesn't have to be something new. It could be a favorite experience. Michelle and I really enjoy sharing our experiences of living in Scotland and New Zealand with people. And we also enjoy talking about our kids. Since earning my PhD, I've been asked to share with others who are wondering what it's like to go through that process. I've had calls with people I've never met, friends of friends, who want to know more about choosing the right program of study. And I'm really glad to share my experience with them. Though the details may differ, you know what I mean. When you have experienced something that has enriched your life, it's almost a relief to be given an opportunity to share about it. From my experience, there is nothing more thrilling in life than the glimpses God gives us when He is using us to help others become more aware of the difference Jesus makes. You will be my witnesses. This is quite a provocative statement. This, of course, is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here, Jesus reminds his disciples of the proper ordering of their lives. In fact, nothing's really changed from his very first introduction to them. When he first invited them, he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Here is the proper order. "You come to me," says Jesus. It begins with a decision, but it's more than just that. He also demands that each one must live out the decision by getting in line behind him. That is the proper order. It is appropriate because that is the way others will also meet Jesus, get behind him, and introduce him to others. This is what it means that you will be my witnesses. Nothing has changed. We are here, we are presented with an opportunity to share with others who we follow, who we are behind, who we have given our lives to. Though the material presence of Jesus does change, that is, he will no longer be visibly himself present in the same way for now, our response to him doesn't. He will still lead, and we must still follow. You will be my witnesses. As I mentioned early on, in addition to the more evangelistic use of the word witness in the book of Acts, a more communal one emerged. And we see this in the later writing of the New Testament. We hear words in Ephesians, for example, where Paul instructs the believers to gather together to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. Colossians says the same thing, teach and admonish each other in all wisdom with gratitude in your heart. Later on, Paul writes to the Corinthians that everyone has a part to play in the building up of the body, this community that meets in the name of Jesus. Everyone has a part, and everyone has something to bring. Could be a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. And we see it even in the words of the book of Hebrews, where it says, don't give up meeting together, because you can, when you get together, you have an opportunity to what? To encourage one another all the more as you see things getting harder, as you see the day getting closer when Jesus will come again. At the end of almost all of his letters, Paul also includes, and sometimes at the beginning actually too, he sometimes includes these little bits of encouragement to his audience. He says, I've heard so many good things about you and I want to hear more. So I've sent so-and-so out to get your report, to find out about, so that I can be encouraged and so you can hear what's happening over here, right? We gather together. So Paul was encouraging, I want to hear more about what God is doing in your midst. But this, of course, is not anything that should be surprising for those, especially for those in the early church who came out of the Jewish tradition. Because this way of gathering together, this idea of gathering together to encourage one another, to remind each other, is built right into the fabric of their worship, of their life, of their experience together. We read all the way through the Psalms, examples where the psalmist sort of says, you know, I will tell of your name, we read in Psalm 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Here's examples woven right into the rhythm, to the declaration of the people of Israel, this togetherness, this sharing what God is doing in our midst together. There's several other examples in Psalms, but maybe the biggest example of where this has come from is within the whole rhythm of the festival, the year of celebration of worship. In their high festivals that God had commanded them, two of them in particular, two out of the three main ones, were all about gathering together, coming to Jerusalem, everyone coming to Jerusalem. In the first case, for Passover, to be reminded of God's work of grace in their midst, of salvation. And the second one, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks, is this idea at the beginning of harvest to remind God of his provision, and in particular, the provision of the covenant, his agreement, God's faithfulness. So they were all gathered together to remind them of God's faithfulness, to share stories of God's faithfulness. And so we have this example in front of us. We have this testimony in front of us. We have these stories of how the Spirit works through the believers and develops these communities as examples to us. And so we are here because someone before us testified to Jesus. They were here because someone before them gave witness to Jesus. And so on and so on and so on. And so now it's our turn to be his witnesses. And yes, the encouragement will be to be his witnesses out in the world, in our spheres of influence as well, but we can't neglect the opportunity to share here, to encourage one another with God's work in our midst. And so we are going to take time to do that this morning. And so we are gathered, we have shaped the service around the opportunity for you, for our church, our community, to witness to God's grace over this last year, okay? So let's do that. We're going to have a couple microphones that are going to be set up in the aisle, and we are going to share, according to, as I said at the very beginning, the first one is going to be, the question that kind of prompts us in this is, what have you seen God do through a ministry of Central over this last year? What is God doing through our ministry as we offer ourselves to him for his purposes? So we'll just take turns. We'll go back and forth just as the Spirit leads, as the Lord leads. We want to hear what God is doing. And I encourage you as much as possible to make room for others, to make space for others. So take a minute or two and just share what you have seen God do through the ministry of Central this last year, okay? Who's going to lead us? Who's going to be the first one? I see some movements. So just come to the mic. I should just invite you to come. Come to the mic. We'll go back and forth. You will be my witnesses. Being witnesses of Jesus requires at least two fairly strong theological commitments. The first one is this, the statement that Jesus is alive must be more than just words. Because what we're sharing and what we're talking about is not just a concept, is not just a nice thought, but it's the result of when one person, in particular Jesus Christ, shows up in our lives and impacts us directly. Paul, among the most outstanding examples of what it means to be a witness for Jesus, declared that when he encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and when he surrendered his life to that same Jesus Christ, he realized that a fundamental change had happened. Because Jesus is alive, writes Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who lives, writes Paul. When you encounter the risen Jesus, when you encounter the person of Jesus because he is alive, that this change takes place. We gradually come to terms that there is a change that's taking place. We no longer think the same way. We no longer see the world the same way. It's because of Jesus in us. Furthermore, Paul explains that the living Jesus doesn't just transform individuals on their own, but he also transforms entire communities. Paul teaches that those who respond to the presence of the living Christ are united together as his body. Together, we are how Jesus reveals himself to the world. This was true in Paul's own experience. He met Jesus. God brought Ananias to him to heal him of blindness and to baptize him. God then united Paul with the disciples in Damascus and later in Jerusalem, using Barnabas to support him along the way. At every step of the way, God was forming and is forming a community around Jesus because he is alive. That's the first one. The second one is this. The Spirit is at work. One other result of submitting to the living Christ is that his Spirit comes to us and interacts with us most intimately. The Spirit indwells us and inaugurates transformation in our lives. He helps us to live like Jesus by nurturing characteristics, the ones we all know and are familiar with, like love and joy and peace, patience, gentleness, and generosity, just the way that Jesus did. But he also provides us with a grace gift. He provides us with a part to play in this growing, deepening, and developing community, a community meeting around the living Christ. So the Father's sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, whose righteousness then declares him to be the way, the truth, and the life, supplying us with the ongoing presence of the Spirit, then empowers our witness to the world and each other as a way to encourage us through the good times, through the great times, and also through the challenges. You will be my witnesses. So, we come to our second and final for this morning, And as the Lord leads, we'll have an opportunity later this afternoon during our picnic time together to continue celebrating and sharing what God is doing in our midst. We come to the second one of our sharing time. And that is shaped around this question. What is God doing in you through the participation in through your participation in this community of believers? How is God changing you? How are you becoming more and more aware of God's grace in your life by participating in this community, okay? So I want to invite you forward again. Same thing. We'll go back and forth as the Lord leads. So who's going to start us off? All right, I'm going to invite the band to lead us in one more song. And to do that in praise and worship of God, I will invite you to stand. Let's stand together. Let's worship with our whole heart. Let's thank God for his work in our midst and his ongoing work, and commit the rest of our time and our community to him and his work in our midst.
We want to take a moment to thank you for listening. And we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings in person or online. For more information about who we are and what's happening at the church, visit us online at centralbaptistchurch.ca. Thanks for listening to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast.